This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, MIBiz staff writer Nick Manis tells us how economic development officials in Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo are thinking about rail service. And he has an update on efforts to close the so-called dark store tax loophole. But first,
this year, WMUK is celebrating its 65th anniversary. It went on the air in 1951 as WMCR, broadcasting 400 watts at 91.1 FM. Over the years, there would be a stronger signal, a new place on the FM dial, and membership in something called National Public Radio. WMUK will hold a celebration Wednesday at Bell's to honor 65 years of broadcasting. We're going to discuss some of that history with a man who saw a lot of it. Gerard McLeod worked for 40 years for this station, 30 of them as general manager. Gerard McLeod, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Oh, well, thank you very much for inviting an old codger to back to the radio station. It's wonderful to be here.
When did you start working at WMCR?
Well, actually, I started working at WMCR when I was a student at Western. And I don't know the exact year, but probably around 1955 or something like that. And I worked off and on as a student until about 1959. And in 1959, the manager at the time was a guy named Bob Dye. And he wanted to get the radio station on regular hours all year long. Up until that time, we had been on the air like 8 or 10 hours a day, but not on any weekends. And we would sign off in the summertime when summer school started, because there were no students around much to help out at the radio station.
So sign off for like 3 months.
They sign off for like 3 months. Okay. Yeah, right. And this wasn't unusual for educational non-commercial stations, as we were then called in those days. And they decided that they wanted a full-time announcer so that there would be somebody there all year. And basically, I think what they did was they pooled a lot of the student help money and came up with one salary with fringe benefits. And I don't remember how much I made in those days, but it wasn't a lot. And it was a great opportunity for me because I was working at the time at WKZO when it was still Fetzer Broadcasting as a news person. And I was working more or less full-time but getting paid part-time rates and no fringe benefits or anything. And I had just gotten married, so this was a great opportunity to have a more or less stable job.
So how did you end up becoming general manager eventually?
I worked full-time from 1959 until 1969. And somewhere in like the earlier 60s, Western had started a closed-circuit television operation that was in the basement of Waldo Library, kind of next door to Maybe Music Hall, which is where our original studios were. And that building is now totally gone. We had this television operation, and I was working part-time as a television director, was closed circuit to broadcast general studies and humanities-type programs into big classrooms with television monitors. But I didn't really like that much. And so I finally, they gave me a choice. I could either stay working in television or it was driving me nuts kind of going back and forth between radio and television. And so I chose radio, and it turned out to be a good choice for me.
Gerard McLeod continued working for the station over the next 10 years and was named program director for what had by then become WMUK. But in 1969, there was a reorganization. Glenn Bishop, who had been station manager, was named associate director of technical services.
At the same time they had this meeting, I was totally surprised. They just announced that I was going to be the station manager. And it was kind of a shock to all of us, but it worked out, you know, and it was lovely for me. Although at first I had no clue as to what I was supposed to be doing. Glenn had these wonderful relationships with the you know, people in the administration over there, in the financial part of the administration, dealing with budgets and all that stuff. I didn't know anything about that. It was not my job at the time, but I learned. It turned out, Gordon, to be it was a stroke of luck, you know, for me, because right about that time, this was 1969 when I was named manager. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting had been founded in 1967. Lyndon Johnson had signed the bill that established that. And something called public radio was just beginning. They were just beginning to talk about it in 69 when I became manager. And I remember going to a meeting where they were trying to figure out what stations needed if they were to get this thing off the ground, to establish an interconnected group of stations all across the country. What was it educational stations needed most? Well, the answer was we needed a good, reliable source of competent news and public affairs. In addition to, you know, the arts-oriented and humanities-oriented things that we all did kind of traditionally.
And so this is where NPR starts to really get its roots and start to take off.
Yes, right. And the original NPR was funded entirely by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And the corporation, the other thing the corporation had was what they called community service grants, which I think they still do for stations, that were designed to help stations build their staff or their facilities and that sort of thing to become more viable operations.
And this is how WMUK ended up really getting into local news, was with one of these grants, correct?
That's right. The original grant that we got from the community service grant we got from Corporation for Public Broadcasting, I think it was like $8,500. And that's a tremendous amount of money at the time for us. And it was enough money to establish a new full-time news position, first one we'd ever had, and to pay the fringe benefits on it. And the nice thing about it, the university jumped at it, of course, because it was going to be an ongoing grant. You just had to renew it every year. The first public affairs director we had was a guy I knew through the theater here in Kalamazoo. We'd been in some shows together. And his name was Fritz Frurip, and he was the first public affairs director. And he was with us. Well, this was when we were up in Mabee Hall still. He was with us for, I guess, about 2 years, 2 or 3 years. And then in 1973, so we hired Tony Griffin.
Tony Griffin, who hired me and hired Andy Robbins eventually.
That's right. And Tony was a great hire because he had talents and abilities beyond his news-gathering strengths, which were formidable, but he was also a great ambassador out in the community for us. And he personally kind of made people aware of WMUK that weren't aware of before, especially people in, you know, county and state government. He had all the county and state government people in for his News Views programs that he established early on, right around 1973, when we first moved into this building in 1973.
So if you look back at the time you were here, we'll just take it up to your retirement, which was 1999, what would you say were the biggest changes in terms of how the radio station operated and maybe how the radio station interacted with the community?
That's kind of a multifaceted question.
I suppose it is. More than one question in
there. Yeah, right. Well, let's see. During my time with the radio station, one of the first things we did, and this was when Glenn was manager, because he was interested in doing really good recordings of classical music and things. And there was a guy named Gregory Millar who came to be a conductor of the Kalamazoo Symphony. back in the 60s sometime. And the Kalamazoo Symphony was interested in having us record and rebroadcast their concerts. And Glenn was really eager to do this because he loved doing that kind of stuff and was very good at it. And the symphony played at the time down in Chenery Auditorium. And so we developed that. We recorded their concerts, and they were usually in the middle of the week, sometime like Tuesdays, I think. And we played them back on Friday nights. And then that expanded into doing the Chamber Music Society. Fontana hadn't arrived yet, but the Kalamazoo Concert Band and the Junior Symphony and the Bach Festival. We did all of those concerts. And so that was one of our first things where we ventured into the community and tried to serve at least the musical community in Kalamazoo. And, you know, I remember doing all those concerts. It was a lot of fun. Well, then, of course, this is the programming side. The coming of NPR was another big moment. And incidentally, the original yearly cost to the stations for NPR was $100 a year.
Oh, boy.
But that was because it was pretty much subsidized by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
I think the current general manager just fainted here.
I left, it was well over $100,000 a year.
And it keeps going up.
Yeah. Anyway, so NPR, and then when we got our own newsman and Tony Griffin, well, you know, Tony was important, but even more important was the fact that we had the position on board. And it was a position that had a stable funding. Well, then when NPR went into stereo, so those are kind of the things on the programming side. There were a lot of other little things, but those are major ones. And then there was on the technical side, you mentioned, you know, we were at 91.1 with 400 watts.
Yeah.
And then in 1955... we got a grant from the Kellogg Foundation over in Battle Creek. There was a station in Battle Creek that had an FM station, AM and an FM station, WELL. And they had decided to get out of FM broadcasting because they couldn't sell any advertising on it. And they were at 102.1. And they were licensed as a Class B station, which I think is now called a Class B station, and at 50,000 watts effective radiated power. So they sold under this grant for like $7,500, I think it was. They sold us their antenna, the transmitter, this big old Western Electric transmitter, which was an awesome transmitter, and also gave us the frequency.
So when you look at the time from when you started, I don't know if you want to take it from when you were a student or when you started full time, and you look at through your time as general manager and then even beyond that, because you've stayed in the area, you've still done work for us occasionally. What do you see as the things which have remained constant? How is WMUK still in many ways the same place it was back when you were general manager?
Well, one thing that has remained constant is our involvement in the arts and humanities community here. We've changed the way we present classical music, local classical music on the station. We used to broadcast complete concerts, like of the Kalamazoo Symphony, as if we were at the concerts. Well, we actually were, but it was a tape recording of them. And now we broadcast, often we broadcast the whole concert, but it will be in the context of a piece from the Kalamazoo Symphony concert and a piece on Kara's program, Hear It, a piece from Fontana or something like that, which makes, in some ways, much more interesting listening, I think.
And then interviews mixed in.
We used to do an interview with the Kalamazoo Symphony at the intermission in the Kalamazoo Symphony with a soloist or or the conductor or whatever. But we're still very much involved in all these local music organizations. I mean, I see Martin Clam out, you know, even at rock concerts.
Yes. Yeah.
I see him. And so that's one constant. It was some stations have just completely given up on classical music and present mainly news and information. And of course, news and information is important, but the mix we have here, I think, is a really good one. And it, you know, it gives us an identity in this area. Another thing that's remained remarkably constant at this station is the staff. Over the years, I mean, except for retirements, over the years, the staff has been remarkably constant. I mean, you, Mark Tomlinson, Jack, Kara, who else?
Clay
Woodworth, of course, yeah.
Andy Robbins.
Andy, and Martin, came in a little later, but he's been here a number of years now.
12, 13,
yeah,
something like
right.
that. Yeah.
The staff has been remarkably constant, and they're all really good, you know? you're all really good. And I like to think that reflects well on me or on Floyd or somebody, you know, who managed to con you people into working here. But it's a wonderful, you have a wonderful staff here, and you've picked up since I retired, you have several new people here that are really, really very good. And Gordon Bolar, who is the station manager, who is about to retire,
yep.
But but Gordon told me he's been here about 10 years. I couldn't believe how fast 10 years, that 10 years went by. But Gordon had a background in public broadcasting. And he took over for Floyd and Floyd Pienka. So we've had a lot of really good people here, and that's been a constant that I think has served us well, too.
Well, Gerard, you are certainly among the good people we have had here over the years. Thank you very much for coming back in. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Gordon. Thank you.
Gerard McLeod was WMUK's general manager for 30 years. He served the station for more than 40 years as an employee. WMUK will celebrate its 65th anniversary on Wednesday with an event at Bell's. You can find details at WMUK.org.